Hi everyone, welcome to M4G Advocacy Media. This is the Journey Series video podcast. I'm Mark, a brown man who's bald with black and white beard and red shirt.
And I'm Crystal. I'm a white woman with red glasses today, a black and gray striped shirt, and I have brown hair and brown eyes.
And today we're very excited for what promises to be an impactful episode with the one of the founders of Billion Strong, Miss Deborah Rue. Hi, Deborah.
Hello. Thank you all so much for having me on your show, Crystal and Mark.
Thank
I'll
you
do a
for
quick.
finally joining us.
I'm excited. I'm excited about your voices. And I want to do a quick visual description, and I also want to make a comment about visual descriptions. So, quick visual description. I'm a white woman, and I'm an older, a mature woman, and so I have white and silver hair with some purple streaks through it. I had to look down and remember what I'm wearing. I'm wearing a black sweater and a teal shirt. I don't know, I think it's that shirt, bluish green shirt, and I'm wearing glasses today. And I just want to say that I heard a gentleman the other day that was blind say, "I hate when people do visual descriptions." And I remember thinking, that's so interesting because I know so many of my friends, and this gentleman was also blind, but I know so many of my friends that are blind that really appreciate these descriptions. And so I just wanted to point that out because I thought that was amusing. I think we should still do it. I also think it's interesting how people choose to describe themselves. So anyway, but thank you so much for having me on your program today.
Thank you for joining. So, did you want to jump right in to tell us a bit about your journey? What's led you up to life so this at this point?
Well, as I said, I'm older, and so I have a quite long journey. But I would say I'm going to talk about the things that really impacted my journey. But once again, my name is Deborah Rue, and I'm one of the founders of Billion Strong, billion-strong.org. I'm also the CEO and founder of Rue Global Impact. And Rue Global Impact is a for-profit think tank that works with global leaders all over the world on disability inclusion and accessibility, really digging into why are we failing so much on this? Because we're so failing on this. And so that is a for-profit consulting firm that I've had for years. And before that, I had a company called Tech Access. And what we focused on was website development, accessibility, and the majority of my team, 95% of my team identified as people with disabilities, as do my team now. I think it's closer to 98%. But I think there's one person on the team that doesn't identify. But so I also am very proud to be a person with disabilities. Now, I have to tell you, I have a disability. I was diagnosed in my mid-50s as a person that's neurodiverse, and I have ADHD. I was so surprised, and I started talking to my friends, and they're like, "Wow, how you didn't know? We don't know, Deborah, but I knew you were ADHD the second I met you." But you know, the good news about ADHD is it causes hyper focus, so you can go out and build these global groups. But I also am the mother of two amazing children. They're both adults, probably older than both of you two. But my son, I'm really thrilled with, is now a special education teacher, and he also has been working with me in the business, in the field. And then I have a daughter whose birthday is Friday, and she'll be 37, and
Wow.
she was born with Down syndrome. Yeah, and you know, it's funny, people talk about Down syndrome making everybody happy and they smile. Right. My daughter's a very complicated woman. She doesn't smile all the time. She's not here just for my amusement, she tells me often. She doesn't even like me saying she has Down syndrome. She identifies as DS. So, and then last but certainly not least, my beautiful, beautiful husband of 39 years. He was hit by a car when he was a child, and he sustained a horrible traumatic brain injury. It actually killed him on the spot, but they revived him and he was in a coma, months of recovery. Grew up, got married, had two beautiful children. But unfortunately, dementia came early for him. And so he died a couple of years ago, due to dementia, due to the traumatic brain injury. I didn't know when I married this beautiful man that he had a disability, and I would have married him anyway. I don't care. I didn't know I had a disability. So it's, I just want to first let your audience know that I heavily identify as this community. I think I'm proud to have ADHD. I know it makes me different from a lot of people, but I actually am learning. I've really learned to appreciate the difference, the kookiness that I am, who I am. But also, I, as I was creating like this for-profit company, I didn't want it to be a nonprofit because I'm tired of everything being about charity with us. You got to fix our, I'm just tired of that. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do a for-profit company. And boy, it was very difficult. I had a really hard time funding it. I struggled. I inherited some money. I put every bit of that money into this work. I think more people that inherit money should actually give it back and help others. And that's what I chose to do. That's what Crystal Mark are choosing to do with the work they're doing. They're choosing to help. So, but one thing I found when I was really, I speak for the UN, I speak for large corporations, I'm blah, blah, this, I'm all that. What I started noticing is the community isn't really being included like we need them to be. Too many people are on the stage that look like me. I have to tell you, I have a disability. There's not enough diversity in these conversations. There's not enough diversity in the intersectionality part of that word, women with disabilities, men that are not Caucasian, brown and black men, men, women that identify as part of the LGBTQIA community. But also culturally, we are not including culturally and disability. We don't include a diverse audience of people. Crystal, you probably would have a better chance because you're a white woman from the United States. I mean, it's really sort of there's some elitism going in even in our community now. So it's like, yay, I'm so glad you were successful, but what about everybody else? So that's why we created billion-strong.org.
Yeah, it as you said, it I have so much pushback in the advocacy world where I'm a white woman, so I don't have any clue
Sorry, you're
about
white.
the intersectionalities are not there, and I don't know what I'm talking about, or I can't share my lived experience because it's overshadowed by what their perception is of me.
I
And
agree. I
it's
agree.
harmful because that's only a further, you can tell those businesses that claim to be advocacy centered.
Right.
They are showing their true colors,
I agree.
that they're wanting to do more division than they are wanting to include everybody and hear all the voices.
I agree. That's why I really thought I had to do this billion strong. And the URL is billion-strong.org. Why? Well, billionstrong.org is available, but they wanted me to pay $6,000 for it. I just think that's a really stupid way to spend money. That money, think what $6,000 could help individuals. So it's billion-strong.org because we got to have some. I don't know, common sense in this stuff now. We see very large groups. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to be ugly and say it on air. You'll have to do your research on Google or on Bing or whatever you use. But there are some very large disability organizations that are getting in trouble now because they have been taking advantage of us. They have been paying their teams ridiculous amounts. They haven't been doing the right things. They've been funding their friends. Okay. We all have to get together. We're a billion strong. There's a billion of us. There are more than a billion people with disabilities in the world. What does it mean to have a disability? It means you're human. If you live long enough, You're going to have a disability. You're going to get to experience what it's like for your body to change and shift and be different and unpredictable. It's just part of being human. You could be scared to death of that. You can think that's a threat, but the reality is, I just believe that humans aren't mistakes. I think humans are, I believe personally that we are souls having a human experience and that our souls are learning a lot. I had a man say to me, "Oh, how convenient for you, Deborah. You think your daughter being born with Down syndrome was some soul decision. Oh, how convenient." Well, I don't know if that's convenient or not, but I believe my daughter chose to come to experience what it was like to have Down syndrome. And the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. I don't believe she's broken. I don't think her soul is broken. I think she's experiencing these things and teaching people around her. So I think that's what we're all doing. And I also think, by golly, we're stronger together. What if we came together and celebrated each other? And as you two know, because we've talked about it, and you graciously agreed to be global advisors for Billion Strong. Thank you. But we use hashtags we are billion strong and hashtag billion strong. I'm saying it real carefully like that because we also have to think about other members of our community, people that are blind that use screen readers. And if you just say we are billion strong, it's nonsensical. But if you do it in sentence camel case, capitalize the first words, the screen reader will say we are billion strong because we are billion strong. So everyone should use that hashtag. If you are doing anything to include people with disabilities in any way, talk about your life, talk about anything, how the world should be better, use those hashtags. Funders are watching it, corporations are watching it, UN, the UN's watch, others are watching it to see, can we really convene? Could we? Could we really, Crystal and Mark? Could we all come together and say, stop it. Stop treating us like we're not humans or we're partially humans. Cut it out.
Yeah.
We certainly could. There are just so many corporations that are invested in making sure that doesn't happen. And we just have to get past those hurdles.
I agree, but I also want to say there are actually so many corporations that do want to include us, honestly, sincerely want to include us, but they are getting such mixed messages from our community. Make everything accessible. We need to be included. But then there's all this infighting that happens. The blind, the deaf, oh, the deaf blind, the no, cerebral palsy, no, MS, MD. There's all this infighting that happens very openly, very ugly infighting. And actually our community scares the hell out of these corporate brands. But I don't care. We're here. We're tired of being excluded. We're tired of you speaking for us. I don't care. I don't feel sorry for them, okay? Because they've been, anyway, some corporations take advantage of society. I'm sure not the ones that we follow and work with. But think about the power that we have. I'll give you an example. I was speaking at a conference. It happened to be a Down syndrome conference. I speak at conferences everywhere, but it was a Down syndrome conference, and there were 4,000 families there that loved somebody with Down syndrome. And I said to those 4,000 families, think what would happen if, say, I'm not, I don't want to, I'm going to give her, I want to be careful who I give love to because not every brand deserves love right now. I'm going to give love to Lloyd's of London. I love what Lloyd's of London is doing and has been doing for our community for a really long time. Now, I'm an American. I don't use Lloyd's of London, but I know them. We Americans, we know them. I don't know. You're a Canadian, Mark. I don't know if you know
I know
that
they're an
brand.
insurance company, right?
Well, right. And I didn't know that. I had to learn that. They just sound, I don't know. I just love their name, Lloyd's of London. Sounds so sophisticated. But maybe, we glamorize royalty here in the US. But anyway, but they're really doing amazing, amazing work for a really long time. So, for example, one thing they were doing was they were supporting their customer that had disabilities, and they were using a wonderful app, a wonderful program called Be My Eyes, which is we love Be My Eyes. It's a wonderful app for people that are blind. They have, this is dated probably, but they have 6 million volunteers. And what the app does, for example, it does so much, but this is just a simple way to explain it. if you're a person that's blind, you can use this app and you can turn it on and it will, you can hit the app, you can activate the app, use real words there. You can activate the app and it will connect you with somebody. So for example, my son did it, and a woman in the UK connected to my son in Virginia, and she said, "I want to have lunch today and I want the soup, but and it's a pop top, but I know there's also pop tops in there that are fruit, and I want soup." And so she held her camera up and my son identified which can it was. Simple, wow, amazing. Well, they took
Wow.
that technology and they've made it even cooler and amazing, and millions of people that are blind and have vision impairment use it. It's wonderful. It's free for them. It's just beautiful. But they figured out ways to use this technology to help corporations. So, for example, Lloyd's of London, and they talk about this. And I do not have a relationship at this time with Lloyd's of London. I just appreciate brands that do good stuff. And so, what they did was they started using this tool to support their clients that had questions about insurance, or maybe they had a letter they wanted to read, or things like that. Their customers with disabilities loved it. They loved it so much, they're like, wait a minute. They opened that up to every single customer. Every single customer benefits from this. So it's like, I love brands that are doing it and including us and finding innovative ways to do it, and then realizing, oh yeah, the other humans need this too. That is a good story to tell.
Yeah, like curb cuts or
Right.
lots
Good
of
for
stuff.
everybody. Captions. Who
Yeah,
uses captions
great.
now?
Who doesn't?
Thank you.
No,
Thank you, Crystal. Who doesn't? I
there
used to turn it on when I would watch a show called Swamp People because I could not understand their thick Louisiana accents. And I'm an American, and I couldn't understand this other American. But and my daughter used it to practice her reading skills. My husband used it a lot as he was walking his journey. And so you're right, Crystal. Who doesn't? And so much technology has been created because of us. The telephone was created because of us. They were actually, Alexander Bell was trying to find a solution to talk to his wife and daughter that were deaf. That's why it was created. And then they realized, oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay, maybe it won't help me talk to my deaf wife, but wow. And then from that telephone, look what's happened. So we have been causing innovation to happen forever. We have been innovating forever. And yet, somehow, we've been told by society, go sit down, be quiet, let the real people talk. It's so weird what's happened. And then we're doing it to ourselves. So here we're getting together, we're disability inclusion, and it's still falling down. And then you're having the reverse discrimination, Crystal. Oh, no, you're too white to participate. Oh, my God. Okay, now you're too white. Now you're too brown. So we have
It's
work to do.
for sure.
Sort of in the foundation of Westernized culture to some extent in capitalism,
Oh,
which
yes.
dictates that everyone's success or downfall is their own responsibility, right?
Right.
Which is true to a certain extent, but then that leads to the narrative. Well, that if you're not in control, then we don't want to hear what you have to say, right?
Right. Yeah. And also, Mark, if you say something different than me, if you say something I don't want to hear, Mark, I don't want to hear your inconvenient truth using a sustainability thing. It's like, I don't want to hear you say that, because I've been saying a lot, I think it's really important that the microphone be given to other voices, because I think it's great that I'm up there talking and I can add value, but the reality is we need to hear from more of the community than we're doing right now. And we really need to hear what your real lived experiences are, not what we're assuming your lived experiences are. We need to understand the obstacles, and we need to convene in ways that have never been done. We need to, I created a group with another, with some other leaders. And we started with people that were blind. What we wanted to do is we wanted to bring together a group of leaders that were blind. And so I was sent names, and all of the names happened to be in the UK and the US. And they were all men, which is fine. And they were mainly white. And I said, okay, well, gotta have our girls in here. We gotta have some diversity. And they're like, we know, Deborah, that's why we came to you. So I diversified it. I kept all of those amazing, brilliant men because they also belong in the conversation. We found other men, brown and black, in other communities. We found women. I put together 15 pretty incredible individuals with lived experiences, all different cultural differences, intersectionality, and stuff. And now we want to really take on some of the biggest problems that we're seeing for people that are blind, working with the blind organizations. So we want to do that in all of the segments. We also want to create, right now, I'm part of this consulting group that it can. They contact me and they say, oh, somebody wants to talk to somebody about disability inclusion or blah, 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 blah. And I want to do that for us. I want to say, because I have corporate brands come to me all the time and they say, Deborah, we want to talk to somebody that has real lived experiences with cerebral palsy or MS or lupus or autism or whatever, right? They want to be very, and that's fine. They don't know where to find the speakers. They don't really know where to find us. I mean, there's some of us that are very visible, but where are we? And so we need to be more visible and we need to be more discoverable so the corporations can hire us. They actually, honestly, really do want to hire people with disabilities. Most of these corporations are very sincere about this. They just have no idea how to do this when we won't identify. And by the way, we won't identify because you discriminate against us.
Yes, right now, I've mentioned before that I'm watching a lot of the DEI trainings that are available, and it is so sad
Yes, and
that
discouraging.
they're not explaining to companies to go. They're sending them the wrong direction,
I
and
agree. I agree.
they're investing
Constantly.
their money in the money and time
Right.
in the wrong places.
I agree. And I've seen it so much, and it's just really starting to freak me out. Especially as I was walking that journey with my husband and my daughter, seeing my daughter get so vulnerable, and this is ridiculous. We are spending, and you know what I know, and I often say to individuals with disabilities that want to be speakers, and it's like, that's great. But the reality, don't be careful, don't be part of the inspirational porn movement, right? Because I get you're going to be paid, they're going to pay you this money, blah, blah, blah. But then they're going to forget your name, by the way. They are going to, because they showed you once or they did a series. Well, they don't want you again. Be careful. It's a trap, people. It's a trap. You've got to help others. You've got to help yourself. Do exactly what Crystal and Mark are doing. They want to help themselves. They want to add value. They are adding value, but they are making sure others' voices are being heard. This is not a time for us to be selfish as a community. And I say this to people all the time. You being a great big old speaker, blah, 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 that's great. So you can be loved on, but is it helping our community? Well, of course it is, Deborah, because I'm telling them my story. Okay, but is that story in any way able to translate to real change? Because I can tell, I mean, do you feel good about me getting up there and telling you all my supposed issues or whatever? Am I doing this so you can feel better about your life? Oh my
No.
God, my life's good compared to Crystal's. No, I'm sorry, but a little bit of this is true though. We got to be more community focused and helping others like you two are doing, like I'm doing, like so many others. And audiences, by the way, I think they can figure out the authenticness very quickly of our voices too. We show ourselves all the time. So there's a lot of work to do, but we actually have to be deliberate. And I remember, you'll appreciate this, Crystal. I remember one time I was on stage and I was saying, people like me need to give their microphones to people that don't have to tell you they have a disability and they can really talk about their lived experiences. And somebody that was older than me said, tell them to pull up another chair. Okay. Well, yeah, I hear you, but the reality is there's no more chairs at the table. Okay, we can say that all day long, but sometimes you actually have to give yours. Now, I'm not telling you two to do this because y'all are just getting started. Y'all are just doing this. But I'm saying to people like me that constantly are doing this, we must make room. We must create legacies to make sure that Crystals and the Marks of the world can be better heard and they don't have to fight so hard for their rights. So I say that to the elders. I say that to the elders that are still holding on so tight. No. And then you're going to die. And right, how did it help our community advance? So don't be selfish, people. Time to help.
Right. It,
True
you
that.
were talking about the what we believe in and stuff like that, and the purpose of helping others see the issues and to be kind about it and helping people get to the realization that this is an issue. And I want to be a part of being on the right side of history. You
Right.
know, that's our purpose, of course, but also other people were put here to be a purpose as well. And part of our, plan, I would guess I would say, is to make sure that we're talking to people who have like-minded values
Right, I agree.
and want to share the same issues and do it in the right way that's going to help people, find these things and realize these things. And that's because we are, I have experience where people want to only be on the show to promote something or
Right.
to use your platform as a way and then never speak to you again.
Right. I got what I needed out of you. Thank you. But what if we didn't act that way? What if we said, which is what we all did before we got on air, it's like, all right, tell me what you guys are doing. What are y'all trying to accomplish? How do I help you? You know what I think is really important, and especially I would just speak to us as a, well, you're not American, you're a Canadian, but as North Americans, I'll say that. But I just really think that we can sit around and complain about what's happening, say, with our politics right now or whatever, right? Or we can actually step in and try to help each other. And like you said, Crystal, listen to the other voices. You can hear what's resonating and watch. And just because somebody says something, feel whether or not, words are energy. Feel whether or not that energy makes sense to you. And I want to say something else before I forget, even though you both have already said this, but one thing, whenever we were creating Billion Strong, billion-strong.org, as we were creating it, there were one thing that we realized that we had to do is, number one, we have two things we have to do, two little things. Number one, we need to convince society that people with disabilities are humans. And if you design so that all humans can use technology, buildings, I mean, we just design everything accessible for all humans, no matter where a person is in their journey, they'll be able to use the technology. So that's just, and by the way, we all technically, it is known, we know how to do this as mankind, whether or not we have the will to do it. But the second thing, and this one's a tough one, the second one is convincing ourselves we deserve to be at the table. Because one thing that I find with our community is that we have very low self-esteem. We all, a lot of us believe we're broken. A lot of us do not really believe that we belong at the table, even though we might say we do. A lot of us feel we're posers. And that everybody else is smarter than us. Everybody else got the secret code and nobody gave it to us. And so I think a major problem that we have is that we don't believe that we deserve to be at the table. And that's a big one. And Crystal, I'm looking at your and Mark's face. I'd really be interested in what both of you think about that statement.
We talked about this a lot, actually. The generational traumas, but also how the leaders and from the top down have told people that disability, what they are and how to treat them and things like that, that that encompasses the way people treat us and
Yep.
our own internal ableism, the things that we are still trying to unlearn, and not just us, but the entire disability community.
I know, I know.
The fact that you're saying the low self-esteem, or the unsureness of how we're getting over along in the world, things like that, is something we've got to come together. Companies like what you're doing, and others are gonna have to come together and help not only the able-bodied community come to a place of understanding and wanting to make them the quality, put that there, but also help the disability community unrealize what they've been told,
I know. They bought into it. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, what she said.
I
But no,
agree. She said it well, though. She did say it well, so.
yeah, it's and she's a lot farther on her journey because she's been walking this walk for a long time.
Can you tell?
Yeah, I've just it reminds me of old John Lennon song, or maybe Beatles, I forget. Speaking about my own journey through discovering, like, owning my own disability and the power that I may have to accomplish certain things. There's an old song that says, everybody seems to think I'm lazy, but I don't mind. I think they're crazy, right?
Something.
And it's called
Oh,
I'm Only Sleeping is the name of the song, right?
yes.
So I'm just sort of waking up to what it means. I spent a long time and I'm just realizing now that there was a lot of masking going on, and thanks to Crystal, I've realized that I don't need to do that,
No, right. Yeah.
and it's a bit of a struggle, but it's amazing what you were sharing before about your daughter and how your belief that she's a soul having a human experience. I'm reading a book called The Psychology of Disability, right?
Ooh.
We've all been fed this narrative and these narratives using words, obviously, which have worked their way into our belief systems about society and the world and ourselves. And it's all a very comparative thing, like I'm better than you because I don't have a disability. You do.
Right.
Therefore, you're unfortunate because you have
Right.
a disability. And
Yeah.
so then we hear that language and we take it and we and internalize it
Right.
and right it manifests as not believing in ourselves to do certain things in certain ways,
Right.
and not believing the power we have to change
Right.
the systems that oppress us, stuff like that.
And
Yeah.
when he was mentioning the masking, that's another a whole nother hurdle that we. Oh gosh, there's so much.
But
I know.
when you go back to the internalized ableism and the things that we fear not having an opportunity to have when we don't do that, because the other people are there, they seem like they're more qualified, and. Then we're going to miss out on those opportunities. And like I, for instance, have a daughter, right? But I was not given the same opportunities or paid the same and stuff like that. So I could not give her the same things that other people were able to
Right.
do. And so, you know, that right there is an example of why people mask and
I
why
know.
they don't disclose their disability.
Right.
And maybe
I'm
they do disclose some things about their disability, but I didn't just disclose everything about it before
Thank
because
you.
of that issue.
And it's very. It's the world is structured in such a way that you get further ahead by hiding who you are,
Oh,
right?
God,
And
that is so powerful.
the world, it's built around this these molds and these definitions that make you oblige you to fit into that mold or that definition instead of the other way around.
I agree. And I think that what we do, because it's funny, because sometimes you're in the mold and you don't even realize it. And I know that when, you know, my husband died and I started dating, and I'm like, wow, do people date when you're old? Anyway, and he is teaching me sometimes things happen and I realize I'm in my own box and I'm thinking, wow. When did I get in there? Because I usually don't do it, but I realize I'm in quite a few boxes that I'm getting beaten my way out of lately. But first of all, I want to say this, Mark. You had mentioned that Crystal has more experience than you, and Crystal's a wonderful speaker and everything. But I want to tell you that you might be quieter than Crystal, but when you speak, you are just amazing.
Yes.
What you say. So you're one of the, my husband was like that. He's quiet, couldn't get in word in edgewise with me sometimes, but when he would speak, you're like, whoa. So I just thought what you said was very powerful. Crystal's been spouting wisdom the whole time, but I just wanted to give you that because I just think that what we have to do right now is if we don't like the way it's working, we have to fight it. We just and I don't mean to fight it in a bad way. Fight, no, I'm not even going to use the word fight. We're fighting too much, but we have to really show a different way of doing it, right? Because what I would ask, and you know, people come on my shows and stuff, and they'll ask, and then they're gone, and it's really unfortunate. I interviewed somebody not long ago that was a very well-known figure, and they acted that way, and I was so excited about interviewing this person, and I was so discouraged when they showed me who they were. And I thought, that's not really who you are, really, right? You're just having a bad day. Because I'm always optimistically optimistic. But anyway, people will tell you who they are. But I would say to the audience, what I do honestly need you to do for me, for Crystal, for Mark, for yourself, is please join us. Join billion-strong.org. Go out there, sign up. It's free, and we're not going to bombard you with a bunch of stuff. Join us as a global advisor. Once again, I've asked Crystal and Mark to be a global advisor. We have thousands, but and to be a global advisor, you have to have lived experience with disabilities. The reason why I say that is, who is better? Who is the expert at your life that you've lived with having disabilities? You're an expert. So I wanted to somehow encourage people to join us because why join another movement? So I thought, join us as a global advisor. And there on the website, you can do that. And what'll happen if you're a global advisor is this: we are working so hard to get funding. Use our hashtags, and we'll talk about that. But we have corporations watching that hashtag now. They're looking for speakers. They know we're trying. We're trying to convene. We're trying to pull our community together. They want to hire you. if you're a person with a disability. They want to hire you. So that's, they know that's one place they can go. One place, there's others. You go to Billion Strong and see, well, who is Crystal and Mark? Oh, what are they talking about? But we want to hire you to hire us as entrepreneurs with disabilities. We're going to do things to support our entrepreneurs with disabilities. There's so many things we want to do. There's so many, it's just such a big topic. We were talking about off air. You know, we want to talk about sex. We want to talk about marriage. We want to talk about, the different types of disability. There's so much siblings, but we don't want to do that at Billion Strong. We want to open it up and make it the community be discoverable. There are so many that are trying to help us, but they do not know where we are, and we're not disclosing it, so they don't know where to hire us. They don't even know how to help us because we won't admit who we are, especially here in the United States. But even if you're in a country that will tell you that you have a disability, a percentage of disability, even those countries, people don't want to disclose because it's seen as a bad thing. So what if we just flipped that on its head and said, okay, no, I'm going to disclose. I'm very proud to be a mother of a daughter with disabilities, to have been married to a beautiful man with disabilities, to be a person with disabilities myself. My son, so far, hasn't experienced disabilities, but he's 36, and it's just part of being human. So let's appreciate our humanness, but let's collaborate, let's join, let's convene, let's convene. So our hashtags are We Are Billion Strong and Billion Strong. And I want to make sure that Crystal and Mark have the funding that they need, or have even know where to look for it, because honestly, there are so many groups that are truly, truly trying to help us. So many of these corporate brands, there's corporate brands out there posing. I would also say this, and I'm not trying to be mean, but these business-to-business organizations, these business-to-business organizations that teach corporations how to include our community, y'all need to step your game up. Big, big, big time. We see a lot of programs that are hurting our community. We see you not really meaningfully including our diverse community. We see you only focusing on getting money and funding at all costs. And you have a responsibility. If you're a business-to-business organization, teaching others to do disability inclusion accessibility, we are watching. And we are not happy with a lot of stuff we're seeing right now. That's happening in countries all over the world, including in the United States. We are noticing, we are watching. Recently, I won't call who it is, but recently, we saw funders say, wait a minute, are they really doing the right thing? And they went in and audited and found no, these people were not doing the right thing. They were actually doing really bad things. So, all you have to do is do searches for this stuff. I don't like to pass bad news around, but there's bad things happening. People are taking advantage of our community, including people with disabilities, taking advantage of other people with disabilities. I don't want to play that game. Let's convene. Let's come together. Let's support each other. Let's give each other a chance to make it. Let's care about people outside our borders.
And even if these conversations are hard and difficult to hear, that the purpose of being able to talk with people and get to knowing people is knowing their true purpose and what they're about. And we're gonna know pretty quickly what side you're on
Oh, we
and
can
what you
tell. We can read the
actually
energy.
want to do. Being discerning about your purpose. And, it's pretty easy for us to immediately be like, no, not there. They're not aligned with what, making the world a better place or being inclusive. So, yeah, no, we don't have the energy or time
We're
anymore.
exhausted by it.
Yeah.
Deborah, is there anything else you'd like to promote or let people know how to contact you or what you've got going on?
Well, yes, and also thank you so much again for having me on the program. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your voices and what you are trying to do, and I also appreciate the audience taking the time to listen to the, us talk about these very, very important topics. But I would say I would just like to repeat again that how the audience can really help, our movement is by joining us, because there's so much that we all need to do to change the world. There's so much that we need to do to make sure that the world just is not working, for so many people. And so I think what we do is we come together and we support each other. So one way that you can definitely support, what we're trying to do is by joining our free movement. So go to www.billion-strong.org and join us. And please consider joining us maybe as global advisors like Crystal and Mark are doing. Once again, what does that mean? Well, we're sort of figuring out a lot of what this means. I mean, we got a lot of it nailed down, but we're still wide open to it because how do you really convene a billion people? Is that even possible? Is that even possible? But at the same time, what I see in the work that I'm doing all over the world and, really being at the top of this field, what I see is so many people really being left out, and there's only a very small number of people speaking, and we actually need to have bigger voices, more diverse voices. Go ahead, Crystal.
Sorry.
No.
Exactly. How are you supposed to know how it's going to work and the things that are needed? Because we've never been given the opportunity to have voices.
I agree.
And
I agree.
we have to figure it out together,
I
right?
agree. But I would also say, Crystal, I agree. Totally agree with what you're saying. But I think what's also interesting, and I always remind Americans and people in the UK, people in Australia, that still, even though we have not been meaningfully included, it's, I mean, I should say many in our movement have not been meaningfully included. Some of us have been. And I think probably, one reason why I had the success I had, not only because I was determined, but at the same time, because I didn't look like I had a disability, it was almost easier to get in and say, okay, well, now we're going to talk about why we need to include everybody. So there, I think there was a time when you needed people. I mean, once again, I've already told the audience I'm neurodiverse, but a lot of times people that are neurodiverse, like I am, I have ADHD, we were not left out of the workforce. Maybe we were not meaningfully included. Maybe we were made to treat, be, we were treated like we were a little odd and things like that. Maybe we weren't accommodated, but the reality, we were still included. We were still included. And so maybe we didn't meet the, what we could really do. Maybe we couldn't show you what we could really do. But so I think times have to change. And one thing is that I would say about a lot of Americans with disabilities, not all of them, but a lot of Americans with disabilities, they know that they deserve to be included. They know that they have rights. That's one thing I think in some ways we have empowered better our community, but at the same time, we are so tired of the just bull crap that we're having to deal with. And at the same time, I want to say to everybody that has the privilege of be listening to these conversations. You even know about these conversations. You've got to remember our brothers and sisters in the other countries that are not being included. Things are being done to them that are horrific. You think it's bad in the States and it gets worse, worse, worse. So I would say let's advocate, but let's actually advocate for everybody, everybody. And if you're a leader like I am, take the time to say, wait a minute. I had somebody reach out to me yesterday and say, Deborah, we'd love for you to be a keynote speaker, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we'd really prefer Mark, a Canadian. I said, well, then why don't we get you a Canadian? Because there are leaders with disabilities talking about these topics in very empowering ways, some with big brands, some with NGOs. But if you really want a Canadian, let's get you a Canadian. And so, only because, once again, I'll take them all. I'll just take everything that's given to me, or I can say, wait a minute, am I the right voice? Am I the right? And sometimes I am. Am I the right voice? Or is Mark a better voice for a situation like that? Mark, who has a lived experience with disabilities, is proud of his life, also proud to be Canadian, And so I would speak to leaders. Come on, let's also think about these things. Sometimes we have to give our seat up. We have to give the microphone up. We have to build legacies. And so I think right now that so much of my generation is they really a lot of them are adding value, but I feel them not wanting to let go
And I get that. I don't want to get to the point where nobody thinks I add any value, but I just think right now people have to be more conscious about everything we're doing. And so that's why, once again, I ask, please join our Billions Dash Strong movement. Use our hashtag, We Are Billions Strong and Billions Strong, because I mean, this is the only way forward. Crystal, you said it yesterday. I mean, when we were finished, when we started the interview, the only way forward is together. It's the only way forward. It's the only way forward. We've got to collaborate. We've got to adapt. We've got to include.
Right. And it's so obvious the people we talk to that, want to push the issues aside and turn their cheek, or that make excuses of why it isn't happening or why they don't want to be involved and things like that. It's like, okay, I have these people over here that are supportive and are listening and are joining me in this.
Right.
So,
Well said, Crystal.
we've all just got to stick together and move forward with who we have with us.
Right. And also, I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again. Let's try not to be selfish. Once again, I'll be selfish. I'm only going to think, okay, what do I need? What does Deborah Rue need? Well, I want to be blah, blah, blah. I think it's just important in time to not be selfish. I think we've got to be very generous. And if you have that, I'll give you a silly example, but an example that at the time really freaked me out. There was on Twitter, X, whatever, there was hashtag was trending and it was white privilege. And I thought, oh, don't you dare try to go in there. I said, no, I'm going in. I'm going to go into that topic. And there was really stupid comments being made, oh, I use my white privilege to get out of parking ticket, blah, blah, blah. Just really stupid stuff were being said. And I said, I use my white privilege and my privilege of being born in the United States, because it is a privilege. I use everything that I've been given to get make sure that I'm giving back, but also holding the door open. I've got that door propped open so everybody else can come in that might not have that specific privilege. I think of myself as privileged as interesting. I grew up in a, my grandfather was an orphan. I could tell you all these sad stories, but the
Yeah.
reality is we still all do have privilege. If we're even listening to this show, you have the
Right.
privilege of having something that allows you to listen to it. Whereas our peers with severe disabilities, they don't have the internet, they don't have a phone, they don't have, they don't have the same things that we have. That's why we must help them move forward.
And it's important to have that mindset, that intuition that you just know that's your purpose, and it's holding the door open for not only disability community but all minorities. And
Agree. All the
that is so
intersections.
important. And there's
Right.
so many people that are, they're set on holding those things down.
Yes, I
And
know. I
like
know.
as I said before, we've got to band together and help equality,
I agree. I agree. And we've got to have these conversations, and we have to support the creators like Crystal and Mark that are having these conversations. They're not getting paid to do this, so we need to support them. We need to take their programs. We need to share them with others. We need to use the hashtags. We need to recommend them as speakers. As so there's so much that we each can do. There's so much, and I do it all the time. I will, if somebody in the community asks me to be on a show, I will always do it. I have asked a lot to be on shows like this. And I don't always say yes, but I will always say yes if it's community. And also if people are doing the right thing, obviously. But I don't want to be necessarily dealing with these big, gigantic corporations and stuff that are not really including us, and they just want to have a conversation with me so that it looks like they are. Yeah, no, thank you. No, thank you. But I think we all have to be really careful to be supporting each other. And I see a lot of our disability community as a lot of people are starting to come out and go, wait a minute, I do have the right to be here. Sometimes sort of moving into just, okay, let me take care of myself. And once I'm where I need to be, I'll come and help the rest of you. You'll never get there You'll never get there. Start out right away being gracious, allowing, talking about other people's work, using other people's work. One thing that we've been doing a lot lately is on my social media channels, and I'm blessed with large audiences, is I'm doing quotes from other individuals with disabilities, that what they're saying, and drawing attention to them. That's just, I mean, we know these things. We all know these things. This is, what was that book a long time ago for you two? You two probably were born, but it was what I learned. Everything I need to learn, I learned in kindergarten. And it was like, what do you need to learn in kindergarten? You need to learn to share. You need to learn to be nice. Don't That's bite. Don't hit. Don't write. There's things that you learn when you're in kindergarten that we need to remember the rest of our lives. So I always thought that was cute because it all applies. We might actually not bite each other, but I'll bite you and I'm going to be really mean on a post to you. No, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
just this morning, I was listening to Unlearning Ableism with Jamie Shields.
Ah, and I love Jamie Shields.
He had Carla, I forget her last name. I just drew a blank. But anyway, they were talking about what you had just said about before, about white privilege, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that a lot of people, even in the disability community, especially, are talking about that, you know, I don't like this phrase, I don't like this word, I don't like this.
I know.
But that's a privilege to
yes,
be able
it is.
To try. That's your first world problem right there, is how we're talking to each other, what we're calling each other. Let's talk about being kind to each other, respecting what we grew up learning. You know, I had to talk and what those terms were that were learned. You know, let's, you know, of course, later on that can be a discussion, sure. Let's learn how to be kind first and accepting and have equality before we, you know, sorry, go ahead.
But you're so right, Crystal. You're so right. Go ahead, Mark.
That's strange how we learn those principles when we're young, and then we gradually learn this sort of scarcity mindset. Well, there and become where there's only so much money to go around, and there's only so much love to go around, and there's only so much X, Y, and Z, and then everyone's fighting for themselves because they're all scared.
Yeah. Right, right. And then we all lose because that's not the way that we move things forward. It's not. It's just not the way we do it. So I think we have to really remind each other to be nice, because I just want to give you an example, because I love that point you were making, Crystal, about the identity conversation. Because so often we are just, we want to get this right in the U.S. and I love our country for that. And I know that there are people that are self-appointed. I'm going to go out there and say, no, you should not have said disabled people. You should have said whatever it is, people first language, you know, the medical model, the social model, the identity model. And but I'm going to give you an example that a lot of Americans don't like, and a lot of people in the UK don't like. They don't like the term. And I'm going to assume you two don't like this either. And I don't particularly like it myself, but it's called people of determination. All right. I see you both laughed. You made a face.
We talked to a guy from South Africa who first told us about this.
And then later on, we're like, wait a minute.
It's from the UAE. It's from the United Arab Emirates, which is a country in the Middle East. It's actually, there's seven countries that are part of the UAE. But that term works in Arabic. It does. It doesn't translate as terror. I mean, it translates into English. People of determination is like, okay, really? But in Arabic, it really works. And the people that had disabilities in that country were the ones that decided on that name.
Right.
And so one thing that I think we need to be sensitive of is that other cultures and other languages can use terminologies that we Americans don't like.
And that was also the part of the conversation that Dave was having is about origins and the cultures. It works in different ways, and it's almost just respectful for people to be saying that is not the what we use.
Right.
It's
'Cause in their
harmful,
language,
but
they
is it
picked it.
harmful for them?
Right.
It's like taking things out of context under
Right.
they grow in. Like if I were to take a pinch of oregano and put it in your cornflakes, you probably wouldn't like it very much.
Good analogy. Wow. I love that, Mark. Right. And I want to tell you, I want to admit, I've told some other people on LinkedIn, but one of my team members lives in Syria, and he actually has a visa now to the UAE as well. And he's Middle Eastern. He speaks and writes, reads Arabic fluently, and he's this amazing, talented man. He's written like 13 books about including people with disabilities in the Middle East, and he's given them all away for free. He's just this amazing soul. And he wrote he's our he writes our newsletter, and he writes the newsletter, and he'll even write the part, the section where I introduce the newsletter, even though he's writing it. And he wrote a terminology that works in Arabic but does not work in English. And I didn't notice it because I'm running around and everything. And when I noticed it, I'm going to tell y'all the term, but when I noticed it because I got a comment from one of my followers that I love, Catherine Powers. And she's like, "Come on, Deborah, really? Question mark, question mark, question mark." And I saw, actually, embarrassingly, I saw her comment before I actually had read
Oh,
the
that's
newsletter. Not that I'm behind or anything, but wow. Anyway. So what he had said was he was talking about people with autism, and he'd called them the autistics. Okay, I would never, ever call people the autistics. I just wouldn't do it. But it works in Arabic. And so my first thought when she said that was I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And so the first thing I wanted to do was go in and change it to how I would say it. And then I thought, all right. I think instead this is a learning opportunity for everyone here, including you, Deborah. And so we started, a conversation about it. And it's a people are real touchy about it. But once again, are we doing the right thing as Americans or as people, as primary English speakers, to say you're not allowed to use that? That, and once again, should they be you? I just feel like if we really want to come together, we have to honor each other to have these conversations in a way that we can talk about them. We can say, well, God, how would y'all suggest we do it so it works for them as well? But it can't just be people from the US and the UK deciding what works for everybody else, like it's always been, for a long time. Instead, we really do have to honor their cultures. But it's an interesting one, right? Especially because I'm taking on this ridiculous thing of thinking I can pull us all together, but it's worth it. And if these conversations are going to be had, it should be had by us. Where our community should be deciding this stuff, but not just from the Western look. It's actually got to include the rest of the world too. So, but I appreciate what you're doing.
And I thank you, but I do want to say though that this is not us saying that, it's not okay to do that. It's not okay to make mistakes. Like, have the conversation, say how you feel, but then, like Deborah was saying, talk about it, openly and admit that you were wrong about it, and listen to the other person's side before responding, obviously. But and that will help you formulate a new opinion or a new idea about how you feel about it. I think that part's important also.
I agree.
While we're talking about education and, to at a certain level, education, formal education, and can be stifling. I mean, you get locked into thinking a certain way and maybe conforming and,
Building prejudices.
building
I agree.
up.
I agree. It's sometimes it feels like it's more programming. It's like, wait a minute, what are you
I don't
programming
want to
me?
feel, I don't want to be associated with that
Right.
many conformity anymore,
No, I
So.
agree. Times have really have changed, and this is our time. It really is. But we have to do it better than others have. We have to include more. We have to work together. We have to collaborate, and we can't step all over each other, which we have been doing. We've been
Right.
horrible about it, and we
Okay.
actually need to stop doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's okay to respect that time in your life that you gained all that knowledge and stuff. But I mean, it hasn't been working for
Yeah.
people, and people
Right.
become too egotistical about it and throwing people with lived experiences under the bus. So, to me, it's more important to do the helping other people than it is trying to be too egotistical. So,
I think it needs, there's a, like with everything, a balance is needed.
Right.
Education is great, and I, from my own experience, I learned way more after I left school than ever did at school,
Right.
right?
I
But
know. I know.
it
So true.
requires a balance. I mean, that's still valuable knowledge, but Bruce Lee explains it in the context of martial arts as it's knowledge versus knowing, and it's much better to be knowing than to have knowledge, because knowledge is finite, it comes to an end. Knowing is something continual.
Right. I agree. And we'll be rethinking society's rethinking everything, including education and what it
That's
means to
very
be.
terrifying.
My daughter, sadly, her education, it pretty much was babysitting. And I kept saying, but wait a minute. I mean, she is smart. She can learn. But there was a lot, there, it was, she got an underwhelming education here in the United States in Virginia. And it's just our realities, our realities. And then once she got out of school, she stayed in as long as I kept her in until she was 22, to give her as much education as I could. She did learn to read and write, but society has very low expectations of her as a woman with Down syndrome, very low expectations. So, I mean, we all have a lot of work to do, but, and we can talk about all the bad things, but I think really the hope is, and I'm seeing it. There are really, really major changes happening. Some of you might not be seeing it, but I'm seeing it where I am. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing what's happening. I'm seeing what the leaders are saying and doing. Not all of them, but I do find that the leaders that are, not really doing the right thing by us, and I mean that humanity-wise, it's really being disclosed now. So I just think that we all need to do better, period.
It's we just have to trust in the evolutionary
I agree.
process somewhat. Dinosaurs that didn't get with the program went extinct. I mean, they all went extinct, but I
But
mean,
you're right.
some of them evolved,
What?
some of them evolved into
Sharks?
some of them
Roaches?
evolved into crocodiles and cows and then
Right.
humans. Eventually, right?
I was like, do you know something I
Yeah.
don't know?
Yeah.
So, again, thank you so much for
Thank
being
you.
on. This has been a really impactful conversation, and I can't wait for more conversations
I
to
agree. I
come up.
agree. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate your time and your audience's time, and we got this. We got
Yeah.
it. We got it. Please join billion-strong.org and please use our hashtag on everything. We are Billion Strong. Even if you don't want to be part of Billion Strong, you can use our hashtags and funders and corporations looking for speakers. There's a lot of people watching the hashtags now. So please use them. They are 100% for our community.
Yeah, thank you, Deborah.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Great job.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.